Hi, welcome to my podcast, Absolute Parenting, The Shit No One Tells You. Episode 18, Fatherhood. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, then please subscribe or follow me on social media so you can share it with anyone that you think may find it helpful. You will find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle at Absolute Parenting. So, in this week's podcast, I have my husband sitting next to me, joining me to have a chat about parenthood from his point of view. Previously, especially in season one, all parenthood like topics and subjects I spoke about that we have covered were all obviously coming just from my point of view, which, you know, may be a very female point of view. But obviously, I can't help that because I am a female and I am just sharing and talking about how I felt and, you know, and what I went through and how things, you know, made me feel, you know, as the journey goes along into parenthood. My husband and I will be talking about parenthood from a male's point of view. We will be going back to the beginning from when he found out I was pregnant, right up to me giving birth and the dreaded newborn stage and how he felt in the first week of parenthood. Very often, I feel society and social media do not give male enough voice and space to speak about parenthood and how they may be feeling, you know? Personally, I think it is important to get both sides of the story to have a good understanding of what each other needs are. It is only from speaking and listening that we can gain a better understanding. I think speaking, listening, and understanding is probably the thing that has worked so well in our marriage. We then carry this through into our parenthood journeys together. Parenthood is something that impacts each and every one of us so differently. But I think people still categorize parenthood's emotions, feelings, and actions into like a gender stereotypical roles. I mean, I don't know if I'm making sense here, but what I mean by that is, for an example, men only worries about providing and earning money, or that, women seems to be the only one that stress or worry about their children 24/7. But however, you know what? If you dig a bit deeper, that probably isn't always the case. It is just probably the lack of understanding. But anyway, without further ado, let me introduce you to my husband, Ben. Welcome to the show, my darling husband.
It's the first time you ever called me that.
Charming. Anyway, isn't it funny? Obviously, you edit my podcast. Thanks, by the way.
Welcome.
So you have heard everything I have ever said. And now is your chance to share your experience as a father. How do you feel?
I feel like I don't want to let the side down. A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. Right, anyway. Okay, so I guess let's go back to the beginning. Let's go like before even our first child was born. So how did you feel when you found out I was pregnant?
Well, obviously we were planning it, so it was a shock, but a good shock. So I was really excited and really happy.
But do you not remember how I told you? Because that is not how I remember your reaction.
Okay. I can't remember.
You remember how I told you?
I can't remember.
Ah, oh, great. Memorable, isn't it, hey?
I should have started off this by saying my memory is terrible. I've got loads of stuff going on in my head constantly, and it's hard for me to try and think back all the time. So go on, refresh my memory then.
Okay, I will refresh your memory. So basically, I think I had like a little inkling that I might be pregnant, but I didn't tell
you. I was on the way to work.
You were
driving.
You were on your way to work.
I remember that.
And then that morning, I was like, maybe I should do a pregnancy test. Oh, you know, maybe that is, you know, like, what was wrong with me? But yeah. I didn't tell you. Didn't want to, like, stress you out, I suppose. And then I did the test, and I remember I looked at the stick, and I was like, shit, it's pregnant.
Oh, yeah, this is when you went through about £50 worth of tests, just pissing on all of them, just to make sure. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I had to make sure I was pregnant. I didn't want to, like, you know, disappoint you, I suppose. But yeah, so you were excited, happy, and a bit nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Nervous.
Okay. So why the nervous?
It's the unknown, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the unknown. I don't know. I just remember thinking, oh my God, are we actually ready for this? And I know we've been trying for like nearly 2 years. And yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, am I actually ready for this?
I think we got into the fact that, oh, it's been so long now. Oh, it's going to be negative again. Oh, it's not going to happen now. And yeah, I guess it was a bit of a shock. But again, it was planned, so happy.
I think I was freaking out more than you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you were.
I don't know. I guess I was just so shocked. I mean, like you rightly said, we have been trying for a while and it has always been negative. And then suddenly to see that stick in front of me that says positive, I was a bit like,
give me another 10.
Give me another 10 sticks. Come on. Yeah. Let's wait on every single one of them for the next 24 hours just to make sure that I am actually pregnant. Yeah, I definitely did that.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money on tests that day.
Well, you want to be sure, so.
Anyway. Okay, so what was actually going through your mind, like, in that next 9 months of me being pregnant? Actually see my bump grow and feel the kicks and all those little milestones in my pregnancy?
It's going to be a mixture of each end of the scale, really, from happy, oh yes, we're going to have a baby, to, oh my God, what have we done? And, oh, are we going to be ready for this? Just all the stresses of preparing and, I guess, just financial stress as well. Just, okay, right, baby, now we've got to get all this stuff. Kind of intermittent with, yay, we're going to have a baby. So it's ups and downs, really, isn't it?
Okay, it's interesting you said financial stress, because I'm not saying I wasn't stressed, but I guess my main focus was, oh my God, can I actually successfully grow this little human being that we have wanted like for so long?
Yeah.
Do you think that is kind of like a different worry to a woman that we go through?
Definitely. Being able to grow, it's your problem, really. You know.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it's true. I can't do anything about that. You know, I was involved in the first process. Obviously did a good job.
Well done, darling. Yeah,
thank you. Now pregnant, and it's kind of over to you. I mean, I can support you as best as I can, helping you in any way that I can, but it's the whole growing process. Sorry, that's you.
But then do you think, because obviously I hear so many, you know, dads have always said, like, financial is always the first thing that they think about.
Mm.
Why is that? I want to understand why.
It's not going to be the same for every couple.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it depends who's earning kind of the money, really, I guess. And then if you're not able to work and bring in the money, then the other person is going to have to shoulder that. So I think that's why it always comes up, really.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, yeah, got additional things now that will be coming out, and we want to make sure that we can get everything we need and do everything we can for this little person.
Yeah, I guess when people keep telling you, oh yeah, babies are so expensive, and fucking hell, they are expensive.
Yeah, but they don't need to be. They don't need to be as expensive as everyone says. And we've learned this the hard way in a couple of cases, but most we have actually been okay. It's don't buy it until you need it.
Yeah, we have been quite good, actually.
You've got Amazon Prime. If you need something, you can get it next day. It's just so easy. I mean, you'll go without for the 12 hours or whatever it takes to get to you, but you know, there's no need to buy all the expensive stuff, the travel systems and all of that nonsense. It's just buy it when you need it.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Yeah, a lot of people fall into that trap and spend thousands on things they use twice. And
I mean, I have to say, even our travel system, we didn't use it that much.
No.
We didn't make the most of it, I would say. Considering our first child, she was actually, well, she had not really bad, but she had reflux.
Yes.
So we couldn't even really use the pram bed anyway.
No, I was trying to prop her up in it. It's supposed to be flat.
In the end, we just had to carry her everywhere. So then we had to then spend extra money on buying a carrier.
That was money well spent, though.
But that was money well spent, that definitely.
Carrier. I'd have a carrier over a travel system all day long.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. It is much easier. When a newborn, they don't really move.
Yeah.
You just, you know, pick them up, put them in, and off you go.
Yep, they're happy, close to you. You haven't got to worry about pushing things into people's ankles, which I know you love doing.
Yeah, well, you know.
Maybe that's why we didn't use it that much. You're a liability.
Thanks. So obviously we've been to some antenatal classes. Did you find that helped you to prepare you to be my birth partner, or you know, I just didn't find it very helpful?
It was helpful for me as your birth partner. Yes, it was the whole breathing and typically what you would go through and what you'd need me to do at different stages, definitely helpful. As for putting a nappy on a little doll, not that helpful. But, you know, it's different bits of the class were helpful, some weren't.
I don't really, you know what, I remember going to the antenatal classes with you. And I don't know, I guess the couple of bits that stuck in my head the most from those classes are, like you said, the nappy changing. And I have to say, those classes, nappy changing, yeah, they don't really prepare you because, you know, that little doll doesn't move. And when you have an actual real life human baby doll, actually a human baby, even not a doll. Yeah, they actually move and they wiggle and they poo and, you know, just shit and piss everywhere. And then I remember our first child, she literally poo, piss and sick at the same time whilst I was trying to change her.
They should make it more realistic. They should like spray you in the face with one of those water pistols. They should have the stench there and make your eyes water.
I think that is when like classes like that doesn't actually give you the true extent of what parenthood could entail in the future.
They don't want to scare you, do they?
I mean, yeah, it's like breastfeeding. Bloody hell, you know what? If in those classes even in the breastfeeding, like the specific breastfeeding class that I went to, yeah, they didn't prepare me for breastfeeding. Bloody hell, that was hard. I mean, you remember how broken I was from breastfeeding.
Was not the best time.
I bet you thought you had a broken wife.
Yeah.
I bet you thought, what is wrong with her? She never cries.
Well, no, I knew exactly what was wrong with you. I was there watching what was happening and yeah, it's just not a good time, that one.
It just literally, I think, broke me as a person massively. So then, okay, let's take our mind back to the labour of her first child. So obviously I went for my little 38 weeks just check up. I think it was 38 weeks plus 5 days. So it was nearly 39 weeks. And yeah, and they said that they thought my water might have broken. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty relaxed about it. But then when I told you, you were like, what? Shall I come home from work now?
Yeah, it's always sounded pretty serious. Your water's broken or leaking or...
Yeah, leaking. Yeah, it was leaking. Yeah. That was it, sorry.
Then, I don't know, yeah, we should like probably do something about it. But I mean, they said to you, like, oh, don't worry about it, just go home, have some dinner, and then come back. So, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we made sure we made the most
dinner,
of it.
Dinner, dessert, a film.
A film, yeah.
Went back at, I don't know, 11 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 11.
Yeah. Where you been? I don't know, relaxing. You said go home, just
yeah, we took your advice.
Dinner. Yeah.
We took your advice.
Yeah, and, a bit too relaxed, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a bit surreal. I mean, I don't know.
I think it was probably trying to make the time that we had together as a couple last as long as possible.
I mean, I don't know, because I think in Jude's birth was the one thing that I didn't want.
Mm.
And at that checkout, when they said to me, oh, your water's been leaking. If that is the case after the checkout, then we're going to have to induce you. And obviously, I went for the checkout in the day unit. And my hind water, I think they said, has yeah. been leaking. So basically, I have to be induced to reduce the chance of infection because they're not sure how long I have been leaking for. And I don't know, I guess at that point for me, I was a bit like, I don't want to be induced because all I hear is like really terrible stories of, you know, how long your labour is going to be and how painful it is and just didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, not really a choice sometimes, was it? It's just kind of how it was at the time, which is just unfortunate.
I don't know, how did you feel when you knew I had to be induced?
A little bit worried, I guess, just because everybody says it is so much more painful than normal because you're kind of accelerating the hormones and it kind of comes on quicker and then it's just more painful quicker. But I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I wasn't that worried for you, to be honest, because you're a tough cookie, really. So it's
oh, thanks.
I know you'd just deal with it and you'd just get on with it and you'd make it happen. So that's
oh, thanks.
I wasn't too worried. I was worried as much as I should have been, but because I know you, I wasn't too worried.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is new to me.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is new. Don't want to say now. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I was really scared because I just didn't want to be induced. It really was the last thing I wanted to happen. And then it had to happen. And I don't know. I just remember that night staying in the hospital. It just wasn't great. And I remember actually that morning I woke up just sitting in this really freezing cold hospital ward trying to sleep for the night. I remember I was having contractions and I thought, oh no, I'm not going to tell you.
I was sleeping in the chair at that point, wasn't I?
You were sleeping somewhere. I don't know. That ward was freezing.
Yeah. And you were in the bed and I was in the chair next to you.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, oh, it's okay. I think I'm having some sort of tummy pain. I thought, I'm not going to worry you. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because I thought one of us going to have to try and get some rest.
Yep.
And then I thought, it's okay. I'll just sleep it off. And then I woke up again, probably, I don't know, in another hour later. But anyway, I did tell you eventually. And then when I did tell you, how did you feel?
It's all right, it's happening now.
I remember you being a bit annoyed with me that I didn't tell you straight away.
Well, yeah, it's not that I could do anything about it, but we're kind of in it together, almost.
I guess so, but I just didn't want to worry.
That's fine.
I just thought, oh, it's okay, you know, it's not that painful. I can suck it up. Mm. You know, if it's really bad, like it's really kicking off, then, you know, then I'll tell you.
Yeah. But, I mean, your pain threshold's quite high, so the really kicking off bit could have been the baby being born there and then, and you've told no one.
Oh, no, that's our second child.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, admittedly, I guess you are right. My pain threshold is pretty high, so, yeah, but... Yeah, I just remember that morning and then suddenly it was like, oh, yeah, contraction. Yeah, it's all happening. Right, we had to push you to water. And I was thinking, what? Right, okay.
Hmm.
So from here onward, how long, like, will this baby show up? And I actually remember the midwife said to me, I don't know if you remember. I don't know. She didn't really give us an answer because she was like, ah, well, you know, your contraction can come and go because, you know, it's induced.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, isn't it? It's what is it going to be? You never know.
And when she told me that, I was like, are you having a laugh? I said, is it really going to be, I don't know. But, I mean, what did you think when she came and said that, the midwife?
I don't know. I didn't really have any expectations from there. It's just we're there for as long as we need to be. And that's it.
You see, when she said that, I just had all this horror story coming into my head of all the horrible birth stories I have ever heard. It's going to be about, I don't know, 4 days endurance race.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I cannot sit here for 4 days in this sort of pain. It's not going to happen. But anyway, I guess for our first child, she was actually quite cooperative.
Yeah.
And she came within 12 hours.
Yep.
Which is actually quite amazing.
Yeah, that was good.
So how did you feel throughout the birth process? Did you... Well, actually, I remember you were very good, actually.
Yeah.
But how did you feel, like, being on the other side?
Just concentrating, really. I had a job to do. And I just had to focus on you, the little one, and what I needed to do 100%. So that's all I was focused on. And, yeah, it just kind of... just happened, really, because I was fully focused. I felt quite in control almost of what I needed to do.
Mm.
So I was just trying to do my best. Can't do anything else. It's just,
how it is. I just remember the last stage of the labour. I was just in so much pain.
Yeah. Birth plan went out the window, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
I want to be in this position to give birth. Okay, right. No, maybe we should get up. No! Okay, right. Lay down. Stay there. That's fine. Don't worry. Right, yeah. Cross that off the list.
Sue is not moving.
Yeah, fine. We'll roll with this.
I just could not move. Mm. I was just in agony at that point. And I just remember I kept saying, yeah, this is so painful. This is so painful. But you were very good, actually. You were very calming.
Mm. Good.
Yeah, you were very calming, and you were definitely keeping my breathing in check as well.
Yeah, that was one thing I was really trying to focus on.
Because I was really hyperventilating at one point.
Yeah, you were breathing too shallow too quickly. You need to be longer, deeper.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, you did all right in the end. You got into the rhythm of it a little bit.
Yeah, after me, just having a full-blown panic that why is it so painful.
Yeah. And for you to say that, it must be bad.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, comparing the induced birth to our second child, which is completely natural, I mean, yeah. The second birth was literally a doddle. It literally felt like I farted and she just came out. Whereas the first one, because it was induced, I can't even explain the pain. Even now, I feel like I can remember it, but I just can't. It's just so painful. It was just bad. But anyway, so how...
Not to scare anybody that might need to be induced going forwards. Just want to throw that out there.
That is true. That is a very fair point. I mean, I am not one of those women who want to scare other women about labours and stuff like that, because you know what, I have heard a lot of horror stories myself, and you know what, I have nothing bad to say about both my birth experiences. You know, they've both been positive experiences in my book.
Although the induced birth, yes, it was, you're saying it's more painful, you got through it on gas and air and paracetamol. That was it. So you hear of people having epidurals for natural births, even not even being induced, and to get through that on gas and air and paracetamol is fantastic. But again, everybody's pain threshold is different, so you know, just don't want to scare anyone too much.
Yeah, no, that is true. And I will also say, you know, it was done within 12 hours, so it wasn't as long perhaps in comparison to what other people may experience. However, I would say I was really focusing on just visualising, like a hypnobirth kind of style, I suppose. Just had that kind of in my mind, just imagining, okay, you know, every time I contract, you know, there's all that kind of stuff, just visualising. It really actually helped me to move along the process.
Mm. Gives you something to focus on as well.
Yeah.
It's not just the pain, it's the pain for a reason.
Yeah.
And, yeah, trying to focus on why you're doing it, what is going to happen at the end of it, rather than this hurts. It's kind of more productive, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I would say, you know, don't be scared if you have to be induced, and don't listen to all those stories that, you know, it's going to take, you know, forever for your baby to come out, because I am the prime example that induced birth, it was done within 12 hours. So it is possible. So please do not freak out. Do not panic about it. But anyway, so back to our story, husband.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel when you first saw our daughter's head popping out? Obviously, I did not see that bit because, you know, you were on the business end and I was up in the other end pushing away.
Yeah. Surreal.
You know what? I can't actually even believe you were down there looking. I thought you're a bit brave.
See what's going on. Make sure everything's all right. Surreal. Very surreal.
Do you still remember that moment in your head?
Not so much the baby's head moment. No. I think I've wiped that from my memory. But definitely her coming out.
Yeah. Because you see, I mean, because even all of that was just such a blur. And because I was just so focused on pushing and kind of like getting her out, make sure she's okay, I wasn't even like aware what was going on down there.
Mm.
And I just remember I was pushing. And then next minute she was out, and then she just wrap it up and, you know, just kind of pull it on me. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Oh, shit. She's here.
Mm, yeah.
So, yeah. So was it surreal because she's finally here, or is it just the whole experience, or?
Everything. Shit. There's a baby. Is that ours? What have you got to do with it now? And just, to be honest, not that cute. Covered in white crap and just wrinkly little pink thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do remember looking at her and I just remember thinking, is that really our baby? Because I keep seeing like images of babies and I think, oh, they all look so cute. And then I kind of sort out. So
after a few hours, cleaned them up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, she was covered in white stuff and, don't know, she was just really wrinkly and...
That's just normal though, isn't it?
And I was like, I thought, what have I done?
Yeah. is that right?
Yeah, is this normal? And yeah, and she, I remember she had a lot of blood on her head as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember, because that actually took quite a few attempts to get it out of her hair, actually, I do remember that. So then once she was all cleaned out, once she was all weighed, and once she was all had like all the checks done, and you were just sitting there looking at her and me just, you know, having my cup of tea and my toast for energy, for all the carbs. Like when you're looking at her, how did you feel?
Proud of you. Well done. Well done for getting this thing out. And... just, I don't know, really, just really focused on her, just looking at her, thinking, oh wow, we made this. And then it was the, okay, how long are we gonna kind of be around professionals that almost know what they're doing before we go home and are left to our own devices? And then I don't know, really, just speechless.
I don't know. Did you have what people call like a paternal... Is it paternal? Yeah. Instinct, like, I don't know. Like, oh, I have to protect this little baby and, you know, this is it.
Well, I realised that I shouldn't probably drop her.
That was a good start.
Is that paternal? I don't know.
Well, that's a good start, darling, yeah.
To be honest, no, not at first.
Mm.
No real kind of paternal... instinct about protection and all of that sort of stuff, but yeah, just in awe of this little person that arrived, really, was my overwhelming thought.
Yeah, I think with me, all it was going through my head was, shit, I had to look after that. And I'm thinking, shit, what is breastfeeding? I don't actually know how to do that.
Hmm.
and I don't know, or I think all of a sudden all this thing was just going through my head, thinking, I don't know how to do that. I don't actually know when I should breastfeed her. And I was thinking, when do I change her nappy? I guess I was thinking all the practical stuff.
Mm.
And obviously we have made the decision that we would give breastfeeding a try.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking to myself, okay, I know it sounds like the most natural thing in the world, but I don't actually know how to do it. Like, when do I do it? When do I know she's thirsty? So now she's sitting here. She looked pretty quiet to me, and she's not, like, making a fuss. It's like, does she need a feed?
Hmm.
It's like, I don't know. I guess for me, I was thinking, yeah, all the practical stuff that I will have to do for her as a mother. And do you think that is different for you as a dad? Or you're thinking, like, you know, different stuff to me?
If we were going to bottle feed straight away, then, yeah, that would have been on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I was more focused on not right there and then, but what is to come when we get home.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Rather than the there and then practicalities, because there's other people there that will go, oh, you should probably feed her right now. And then we'll go, all right, okay, cool. So right, that's the cue for that. And for this, because we had people around us that have been there for births and around babies that know. So I wasn't too worried right there and then.
Hmm.
Coming home, yeah.
I was going to say, how did you feel like when we can go home and we can take our brand spanking new baby home?
Walking out the hospital, I'm carrying her out. I was thinking there should be a license for this. People should have had training. I mean, the antenatal classes are not for really in-depth looking after a baby.
Not at all.
It's like you don't have your first learner experience in a car, and then they stick you in a Lamborghini. Off you go. You know, because that's what happens with a baby. It is just, you are there, and it is a big responsibility.
Yep.
It's just, yeah, it's very, very nerve-wracking, really. And I remember carrying her out going, oh, now we're on our own.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was that moment when you, like, walk out that door. And I also remember thinking, shit, we have now got to take this thing home that is supposed to be our baby.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, is there a manual to go with her? Is there a manual? Like, seriously, how do I operate her?
Yeah. I mean, there's loads of books out there, obviously, but it's so subjective and based on people's experiences that it's going to be so different. You read one and it's nothing like it, and you think the book is terrible, yet another 10,000 people have read that book and gone, oh, that's exactly my experience I'm having. It's just so different to anything else you can imagine, really.
It is really different. I think everyone's, you know, everyone out there, we all have different journeys in parenthood, and we all experience different things. And I think we have both always agreed that we are all different as people. Yeah. Even me and you, we are different, you know, as people in how we handle a certain situation.
Yeah.
And again, you know, both our daughters, they are also an individual. And they're all different as well. And both our daughters, they could not be more different if they try from the day they were born up until now.
Yeah.
So I guess you are so right. There isn't like a foolproof manual for any babies on this planet, because in a nutshell, they're all different and we are just all different. But however, that doesn't stop me wishing there was a manual when I left the hospital.
Yeah. There was something, I can't remember when we discovered it, but a book called The Wonder Weeks.
Oh, yes.
Which is actually a fantastic book. It doesn't...
Wasn't your work colleagues who told us about it?
I think so.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure your work colleague told us about it.
But yeah, having that and the stages of development for babies in general, from what they know from science and observing babies over a long, long period of time in their mental development from week, I don't know, 5 to week 10, some point along here you may start to notice these list of things.
Yeah.
And being able to look out for those things and go, oh, yep, yep, right, yep, check that off. We've seen that. So there's that's kind of a loose manual, as it were. But knowing the stages of their mental development from that book has helped us to navigate
so much
kind of how we should help them and for us to understand more of what they're going through, because they can't talk.
No, they can't talk. And I think that was the frustrating thing. They can't talk.
They just eat shit and cry. That's it. I mean, none of those mean anything to me.
No.
When linked to stuff. I mean, well, crying, feeding, but, you know, it's...
It's hard, it is hard, definitely. And yeah, you are so right, the Wonder Weeks. Yeah, honestly, guys, if you're, you know, stepping into parenthood or you have friends and family that are going to be parents, the Wonder Weeks.
Are highly recommended.
Yeah, I mean, we have actually told quite a few of our friends to get that book because it was so useful for us.
We bought it for some of them and gifted it to them as well.
Yeah, and they have all said that that book, you know, literally saved them quite a few times. It just some of the milestones they mentioned in that book, it's just so accurate because it is all to do with their development. Mm. Then as a parent, you know, you can then kind of know roughly how to navigate through it and help them, so then you don't feel like, one, the shittest parent on the planet because you're thinking, okay, well, that was working, but today's not working. But, oh, it's okay. They're just having a bit of a development, you know, bit of a growth.
Yeah, and it's like their eyesight. They can't see more than 30 centimetres in front or something. But then at a different stage, they're then starting to recognise objects and colours, and it might make them kind of unsettled. They might be nervous by that, so try and do this to help them explore, and it just takes away some of the holy shit, am I doing the right thing here?
Or why is my baby suddenly turned on me?
Yeah.
Why are you suddenly being little shit?
And if you want, get the app, and then that'll give you notifications as you're coming into those stages, which is quite useful.
Yeah, definitely the app were pretty useful, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
No, that definitely massively helped us to navigate the early stage of parenting and just stepping into parenthood. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, but do you remember like the first 2 weeks of, I mean, obviously you took paternity leave.
Yes.
So do you remember that very, very first stage of being a dad?
I just remember being tired and not wanting to ever be that tired again. I'm trying to recall it now. I really am. It's just PTSD. I mean, I can loosely remember.
Yeah.
But it's all such a blur, especially in those early weeks.
It's such a blur.
Day turns into night, turns into days, turns into weeks. And then after the first few weeks, you start to get into a bit of rhythm.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, I guess it's a bit fair to ask you, what do you remember? Because even for me, I don't remember like every single detail. But I guess it is a feeling that I remember.
Mm.
Like, I remember, you know, when we first took her home, those first 2 weeks, I just remember the feeling of feeling really lost. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I just remember feeling really sad. That was also something I don't know. I felt sad. I felt sad because, well, I just felt like I didn't know what I was doing. And I just kind of felt sad because I didn't know what I was doing. Like, was it the right thing that we had a baby?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have, you know, had those thoughts. I get we spoke about it back then, but not really like now, nearly 6 years later.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess so. It was a big, big life-changing event.
It was a shock to the system.
It really was. And yeah, people will tell you, oh, it's really difficult, or you're not going to get much sleep. But yeah, you do not know how it is until you're in that situation.
And
some babies are going to be much better than others. So again,
and some could be a lot worse.
Oh yeah. And people's experiences will differ wildly.
Yeah.
But yeah, sleep deprivation is, if you want to train for a baby coming in, get 2 hours sleep a night for a week.
That's it.
But you can't have 2 hours in one go. You have to have it in 30-minute stints.
Yeah, that is with true.
With at least 30 minutes gap between each.
That is true. That is how I actually remember definitely the first week. I just remember at least the first 4 days, I was basically getting 3 hours sleep within the 24 hours clock.
Yeah.
But then within those 3 hours of sleep I was getting, it was all broken sleep.
Yeah.
Because of breastfeeding and
nappy changing
and I needed to eat.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I said, I didn't have a wash for like, I didn't wash my hair for 2 weeks. And you know how much I love washing my hair.
Yeah.
So I don't know. How did you feel when you saw me? Like, so basically disgusting.
Yeah, you weren't that bad.
Well, you're thinking that is not the girl I married. Fucking hell, what happened to her?
No, not at all. It's not like we went from, I don't know, 10 years ago to now in overnight. It's been a gradual change, and we knew we were going to have a baby, and we knew kind of roughly what it's going to entail and all that sort of stuff. You didn't look that bad anyway.
But you can't, I mean, don't get me wrong, we have been together for a long time. It's like 16 years this year or something like that. So yeah, I mean, I guess you have seen a lot of sides to me, but that surely you can't, you're not prepared to see me like that. I mean, I was like an emotional wreck.
You just had a baby.
Well, yeah, I know, but I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't expect everything to be exactly as it was before. Just, it's such a big life-changing event, especially for women that obviously go through the whole birth. And then it's not just the physical, it's the emotional and the mental that goes with it as well. So it's not something that would just, you'd click back to exactly how it was before.
You see, in that respect, right, you're actually probably better than me, because I was thinking, okay, why am I feeling like this? Why am I not back to, like, me, the suit that I know? So I guess you're probably a bit more understanding than me being understanding to myself. I don't know. I mean, surely every time when you used to see me burst out crying, you must be like, oh, fucking hell, not again. Like, why is she crying again?
No, I just feel a bit helpless, really.
Mm.
I mean, what can I do? Especially the breastfeeding. You're obviously adamant you wanted to breastfeed as well, which is...
What a twat.
Absolutely fine.
Looking back, what a twat.
Well, it was just more of a, not a competition, but you just wanted to do it, and you wanted to see it through for as long as you possibly could.
Because I'm stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've had doctor's advice as well that obviously breastfeeding, the most important stage is the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So went way past that anyway, which is fantastic. And I can't remember when we started feeding formula.
We started doing that about 3 weeks in. Yeah. Just give her one at night.
It was one at night so that it takes longer for her to digest, so that she sleeps a bit longer, so then we can sleep a bit longer.
Hooray!
So it was more geared towards selfish reasons, I guess.
But then, you know what? I call it survival.
Well, yeah, it is, yeah.
But we were trying to survive as parents, as new parents.
Yeah, if you're stressed and everything, the baby can pick that up. They get stressed and it's just a vicious cycle. And you want to get out of that in any way that you can.
Yeah.
That is acceptable.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That is an acceptable way to do it.
Yeah, give her one formula. You know what? I totally will call that survival mode.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? And I have spoken about this to, actually, our hairdresser.
No.
And she said
they know
that...
everything, the hairdressers, don't they?
I know, they know everything.
Chatting everyone about anything.
But, I mean, me and her were saying that parenthood would actually be a lot better and a lot more bearable if we just have enough sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you don't have enough sleep...
Oh, everything's magnified.
Everything just turned to shit. I mean, even like the tiniest thing that it can just set you off. I think that is why, I think that was another reason why I cried so many times in the beginning. Just remember the first 3 months. I just cried like all the time. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I have no idea how put up with me because, like, I'm being really honest here. I have no idea how put up with me because I was crying mess.
Yeah, you just had a baby.
I know, am I just too harsh on myself?
Yes.
I don't know, I just didn't feel I needed to cry like every day for 3 months.
You just got to do what you got to do and just, you know, whatever's going to make you feel better, whatever you feel like you need to do at that particular moment, just do it. Because if you try and fight against things, that's when you're going to struggle.
I guess so.
And that's what happened. I think you were winding yourself up, which then compounded the issue, which led to you doing it more. And it was that kind of thing. But I think, I can't remember when it was that you just kind of learned to accept a bit about what was going on. And that helped.
I think, you know what, accepting, that is actually quite a good word to use. I think when it comes to parenthood, there's a lot of accepting. Like, you have to accept that this is now your new, like, journey.
Yeah.
You have to accept that some part of the old you, you know, will have to disappear for a while.
Yeah, you'll see that part in 18 years.
Yeah, you'll see that part of your life maybe, like, 18 years later.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's actually a really good word to describe parenthood. It is about accepting. It is accepting that things will be different. Your responsibility just suddenly feels like, I don't know, it's massive. And yeah, it is accepting that, you know, this is the way it is going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how long that's going to be.
No. I have found that hard to accept as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just you with the breastfeeding and the crying and bits and pieces as well, is I found things hard to accept.
What did you find hard to accept? Like, what can you, I don't know.
I can't sleep at night.
What, now?
Well, you know, now's okay. But at first, certainly, because obviously I still had to go to work. And I have a real brain intensive job that needs focus and concentration and constant planning and evaluating. And to be in a sleep-deprived state trying to do that job is not good. I mean, there's loads of other jobs out there as well that require concentration, so it's not just in my field. But anyone in that stage there being sleep-deprived, it's just horrendous. And then coming back to the environment, knowing that you're not going to get a rest and you're going to have to go through everything again at night. And I couldn't accept that this little person that's just come in now has so much control.
Actually, you know what? That word control, it is so true as well. It did felt like she controlled who we are and how we operated.
Yeah. I thought it was bullshit at first. I was like, how dare you? All right? But, you know, it's just, it's how it is. It's a baby. And just, they don't do anything on purpose. It's just they do what evolution is telling them to do to survive themselves.
That is true, yeah.
So that for is them, it's what survival. They're doing, yeah.
Yeah.
So when I didn't accept it straight away. It took a while for me to accept this. So once you accept, you can try and move forward and plan based on kind of the acceptance that this is how it is. Now, what can you do to help in this situation you are now? It's not going to change overnight. You know, you just got to accept it and then move on.
Yeah, that is actually very true. I think parenthood, throughout, no matter what part of parenthood you are in, I think, yeah, accepting that things may not be the same again, things may be different to how you used to do it. I mean, I don't know, even sometimes I think with us as a couple, you know, we have to accept that we now have less time for each other. And we have to accept that our lives now revolves around our children.
Yep.
And that, Yeah, I guess it is all accepting because, you know, before we had children, bloody hell, we did whatever we want.
Oh, it's so good.
Not gonna lie, there are definitely times where I miss those days as well.
Oh yeah, I think that's normal though.
Yeah, I mean, I miss actually, you know what, just sitting watching TV with you.
Hmm.
I miss just us having dinner in peace and quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I miss that. Yeah, I mean, they are just such tiny things that you probably overlooked as a couple before you had children. But then once you become parents, all of those little things, you know, just seem so important. Oh, I really miss doing it, you know. But you have to accept that you are never going to have that again for a period of time.
Yeah.
Or that you have to accept to spend time, like quality couple time together, you know, may take a bit of planning, may take a bit of, yeah, it is accepting that every aspect of your life will be different to how you remember it.
Hmm. Yeah. And I guess some people are good at accepting that.
Hmm.
I mean, if baby's kind of all you've ever wanted for, you know, so long and you're very maternal, paternal, and you may just take to it and straight away, no problems.
Mm.
But, you know, if you have like career aspirations and you have personal goals and you have all of that sort of stuff that you want to try and meet and obtain and kind of just progress yourself, all of that will have to go, not necessarily on hold, but it's going to take longer.
Yeah.
Because you've got something else to deal with right now that is, to be fair, a lot more important.
A lot more important. And I just think at the end of the day, you know, we choose to have them. So therefore, yeah, we have to give it our all to, you know, bring up this little human being and do the best we can for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I guess, yeah, we just feel a bit frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, even choosing to have them is difficult. But, I mean, if you didn't choose to have them and then you're thrown into this situation...
Oh, God.
I can really sympathise with people that resent their children.
Mm.
That have just had this happen and kind of now they're dealing with it.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's not a good place.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you really need to try and find some way to help yourself get through that and positively, because
that's the thing. I feel like unplanned pregnancies or suddenly, you know, you break up with your partner or something and you become a single parent, you know, that must be so daunting as well. And I have always said this, I cannot imagine going through this whole process, this whole journey so far on my own. I'm not saying I can't do it on my own, but it just, I don't know, I just can't imagine not having you there. But then I guess you have always been a really supportive partner as well. You know, you have always been a very supportive boyfriend, a supportive fiance, and obviously a supportive husband as well.
Thanks.
Yeah. But, you know...
Even when I'm making milking cow, getting a stool and a bucket jokes when you're trying to breastfeed.
Yeah, it's funny now. So yeah,
I planned it.
It was funny back then.
It was good timing. I knew when and when not to make that milking cow joke, and I timed it right because I know if I didn't, that was it.
That was it. That's how divorce happened, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't see being a single parent. Perhaps, you know, I have always had a really. I'm very lucky to have a very supportive partner like you. So I guess that's why I can't really imagine it or engage in that kind of idea of being a single parent. However, I do have all the, you know, admiration in the world for all the parents out there are just doing it themselves. Because
yeah, definitely.
It is so hard. Like, I have no idea how single parent can do it.
Yeah.
It must be just so exhausting.
Yeah. Massively.
And you just, I mean, there's no one else, you know, you can kind of rely on. say at night time, I don't know, when they won't go to bed, and if you are shattered, then at least you can hope that you can pass it on to your partner to just hold them, you know, or something.
Yeah.
So at least, like, you can have some sleep. But then if you are in that situation yourself and there's no backup, that is it. You are just, you know, you have to sort it out yourself.
Yep. I have a lot of respect for anyone that is going through it and can hold their shit together themselves, trying to raise kids, babies, children. Just, yeah, well done.
And I honestly, well done to all the single parent out there. What an amazing job, you know, you're all doing. And I do feel really lucky that I have got someone like you, my husband.
Thanks.
That, you know, have always been so supportive, you know, in everything that I do, whether it's being a mum and in my career, you know, just everything. Obviously, like, now you're here, you know, doing my podcast with me. So you see, you've been a supportive husband.
Yeah. I'll be editing this later.
Make it sound good, okay?
Just cut me out. You'll be done then.
Okay, so I guess to sum up this podcast on fatherhood, what advice would you give to, like, a dad-to-be, or obviously, like, a new dad? What advice?
Oh, pressure now.
Oh, what are you going to say?
I think you just need to realise that, obviously, if you've been with your partner for some time, especially, that it's never going to be the same. I say never, it's not going to be the same for a long period of time. Accept that and deal with it, because otherwise it's going to cause tension and it's going to cause issues. So just realise that you need to put what you had on the back burner for a bit, because you now have to look after this little person, or little people if you're lucky, I don't know, unlucky enough to have twins. I'm not really sure what the right thing is to say there, because, oh God, I wouldn't want that to happen. So for a long time, it's going to be different. Get Wonder Weeks. Yep. The Wonder Weeks, fantastic book, and it will help with the signs the little ones are giving you for you to then try and help you to assist your partner to look after them.
Yeah, just to understand what is going on in the little heads.
Yeah, and if you can understand that, then you can help your partner more. And just try and be as supportive as you can. Not only for kind of their sake, which is obviously a big part of it, but your sake as well. Because if you're not, just, it's not a good time. It's a stressful, stressful time. And you just got to work together.
Yeah, it's partnership. It's teamwork. It is teamwork. We have always said it's his teamwork.
Yep. And if you're together on things, then it will make both of your lives a lot easier.
Yeah.
So you don't always have to agree on things all the time. Compromises will have to be made with both sides, even if you're stubborn. But
I compromise.
I know. So if you work together as a team, then it's going to be much, much easier. And yeah, just if you do go out to work, whoever goes back to work out of you and your partner, then that person gets some sleep whenever you can. Because you know that when you get home, you're not going to have a good night's sleep. So I was sleeping in my car at lunch.
Just
to try and get a few extra hours, so I was kind of more with it when I got home.
Surviving.
So then I could help more to then take more off of you and not be so shitty myself because I haven't had enough sleep.
Yeah, and I was always shitty.
It's just natural state of parenthood in the beginning, I think.
Shitty.
Yeah.
Both of you, shitty. Shitty with each other.
Yeah. So, I think that's it, really.
I think there are some good advice there, actually. And I also really liked what you said about accepting. Yeah, accept that parenthood will change who you are as a person and as a couple.
It's so difficult to accept. It really is hard to accept. But once you have, it's easier.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, accepting probably comes more naturally or easier to, you know, an individual.
Mm.
But I would say for both me and you, yeah, we definitely found it quite hard to accept.
Oh, it's difficult, yeah.
Quite a few things. But I would say, you know, now we're like nearly 6 years into our journey. We're done all right, aren't we?
Yeah.
We haven't killed each other yet.
No, not yet.
I think you still love me.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks for that answer.
That's all right.
Just waiting for that.
I thought I'd better give a solid yes.
Yeah, so partnership, work together, teamwork, and just communicate, talk to each other.
Yep.
I say never, ever lose that communication.
Yeah.
I mean, I often hear people say, oh, yeah, you know, I do talk to my husband or I do talk to my partner or whatever. But, I mean, when I say communicate and when I say talk, I mean really communicate. I mean, I have said things to you in the past where I know it would probably upset you. But I told you anyway, not because I'm a bitch. It's just because I want to let you know this is how it's making me feel. That at least we can work on it and just, you know, see how we can work on it together to make it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes, a lot of the time, a lot of couple say, oh, yeah, we do talk. But it doesn't go deep enough. I think it has to like dive in a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And have like a very frank and open conversation about the situation, you know, what you're dealing with, how you're feeling. And even though you might think that, oh, that's a really bad thing to say, or oh, I might really upset my partner with that, you know, comment or whatever, just say it, because otherwise the other person is not going to truly understand.
Yeah. If you have a policy in the beginning that
nothing's
off limit and nothing is said with intent to hurt or be spiteful, it's just the shit we are dealing with at the moment as a person, that's what's coming out. Yeah, it helps.
Yeah, definitely. So I think have an open and frank conversation is the top one for me as well for early parenthood, because it does changes you. Anyway, thank you so much, Ben, my husband, for coming on the podcast. And I will probably have you on again in the future to talk about other fatherhood stuff.
Okay. Pressure. No pressure.
Well, thank you very much, Ben.
No worries.
I hope you all enjoyed listening to this podcast. I hope you will all tune in again. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, then please subscribe or follow me on social media so you can share it with anyone that you think may find it helpful. You will find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @AbsoluteParenting.